Beloved children of God, both of our texts today combine two things together that we usually keep in separate categories: food and God, or food and faith. Food, of course, is our most basic human need, our material human need, and God is our most basic spiritual need. But in our modern world, we have lost a biblical way of thinking about the relation between God and material reality, between the spiritual and the material. The biblical worldview is usually called a sacramental view. By that, we mean that the Bible sees the creation, that is, all material stuff, as a revelation, as a place where we, in fact, encounter God. That's now possible because God has broken through the barrier by entering our material world in Jesus Christ. He is, as we read this morning, the eternal Word who is now made flesh. He is the eternal Son of God, now our fellow human being. Heaven and earth, the physical and the spiritual, come together in Christ. So food is more than just food. In the Bible, it has the sacramental ability to reveal the nature of our relationship to God, our relationship to each other, and our relationship to the world. What today's texts tell us is that God and food, food and faith, are inextricably bound together. We cannot separate God from our daily bread. Food, if you think about it, is one of the central unifying themes in the Bible. It begins in Genesis. God creates the world. God places human beings as rulers over creation. And the very next thing is this. God said, "I am giving you every plant on the face of the whole earth that produces its seeds. I am giving you every tree that has seeds, fruit with seeds in it. All of them will be given to you for food. I am also giving the plants to all the creatures that move along the ground. I am giving them to every living thing that breathes." Food is the gift of the Creator. We receive food from the hand of the Creator. Then God places humans in a garden to sow and to till and to harvest for food. But he puts boundaries around the food. There is food to eat and there is food not to eat. There is the tree of life and there is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then in Genesis 3, humans rebel against God, and it's about food. They eat from the tree that was forbidden to them. And then food creates rivalry and envy. The first murder happens when Cain and Abel fight against each other, the one murdering the other over food. And that's just the start. But in our two passages this morning, we see that God's salvation also comes to us through food. From the manna in the wilderness to the bread on the communion table, we eat and drink God's saving grace. And the end, the goal of it all, is what? A feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb. As Isaiah pictures it, the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all the peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of meat with marrow, and fine aged wine. You notice they have wine before dinner and wine after dinner. It's all about food. Reading the Bible ought to make us drool. In our first text today, the Israelites are hungry in the wilderness, and they complain to God. "We wish the Lord had put us to death in Egypt," they say. "There we sat around pots of meat. We ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert. You must want this entire community to die from hunger." As they see it, they ate pretty well as slaves. And now God, who was supposed to be their savior, their liberator, leads them out into the wilderness to die of hunger. God doesn't get angry about their complaining. He just feeds them. But in feeding them, God gives them a theological lesson. The liberated Israelites must now see food in a new way because they're no longer slaves. You see, as slaves in Egypt, the Israelites were fed by the Pharaoh. They were even well fed by the Pharaoh. But for what? To keep them going as slaves to build storehouses. Pharaoh has taken the place of God. He needs to feed his human worker bees to make big buildings where he can store more food. It's an oppressive economy built around food. Now in the desert, God is setting out to teach a new economy. An economy for the free covenant people of God. And the first lesson is, where does food come from? And what is it for? Notice that God doesn't just snap his fingers and miraculously provide a feast in the wilderness. God feeds them in a very natural way. The text explains, and people have commented on this often, that the manna that is given to them is not some miracle food. It's a naturally occurring substance in the wilderness. Quail are migratory birds, and at certain seasons they pass through that part of the world. It's all the stuff of creation, not some miraculous concoction. Food comes from the Creator as a gift from within His creation. The miracle of it all is that God provides it at a certain time and in a certain way. The manna appears, and as it says, everyone should gather as much as they need. Some gathered a lot, some gathered little. And when they measured it out, the one who gathered a lot didn't have too much, and the one who gathered a little had enough. Everyone gathered only what they needed. And on the evening of the Sabbath, there was twice as much so that all the people could rest. Free people receive the food of creation from the hands of God. They are not afraid so that they have to hoard it and that others then don't have enough. And they don't have to spend every single hour getting more of it because they have the dignity of the Sabbath. This is not a slave economy. This is the economy of God's free people. So God is teaching their proper relationship with food. Food is a gift to be received from God's hand, not a commodity to be grasped and hoarded. God provides enough food for all. None need to go hungry. Working for food should not consume all of our time and energy. Working for our daily bread can be balanced by the freedom of resting in God's grace and offering God our worship. So the issue for Israel was whether they would eat as slaves of the empire or whether they would eat as the free people of God. Our relationship with food is also a deeply spiritual matter. It reveals who we are, and it reveals to whom we belong. Think about it for a few moments. Food, for most of us today, is part of a huge, complex industrial system. From corporate farms to processing plants to distribution systems to supermarkets. And for the most part, we do not control that system. The system controls us. So much so that we hardly even think about it. And what does that system do in our relationship to food and in our relationship to the Creator who gives us that food? Well, to sort that out, we could just ask ourselves a few questions. Where does our food come from? How is it distributed? How are the land and the animals treated in its production? Why are there food deserts in our cities and famines in far-off lands while we have plenty? Why is there an obesity epidemic? And why does it seem to happen mostly among the poor? We could go on and on with those questions. Ultimately, the question is this system good for us? Is this system good for creation? Is this the food for God's free people? These are not just economic or political questions. These are theological questions. They have to do with our relationship between food and God and between food and faith. The theological question is whether we receive our food as a gift from God the Creator, or whether this modern food system makes food a commodity which we control for our own purposes. Do we hoard it or do we share it? Does eating unite us or does it divide us? Does it make us slaves or does it make us into free people? Those were the issues for Israel in the desert, and those are the issues for us today. In the second passage, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people miraculously with, again, something natural, 5 loaves of bread and some fish. What does that remind you of? Well, it clearly reminded the people there of the time when God fed the Israelites in the wilderness. They said to Jesus, "Long ago our people ate the manna in the desert. It is written in Scripture, the Lord gave them bread from heaven to eat." But they didn't get it. For them, here was a man who could feed the masses. They wanted to make him a king. But like the Israelites, they failed to understand the deep spiritual dimension behind what Jesus was doing between food and eating. So Jesus said, "It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Ah, okay, we think now Jesus is getting spiritual. He's talking about spiritual food. We understand this now. No, we don't. Jesus is doing exactly what God was doing with the Israelites. Jesus is teaching us about the profound relationship between God and food. The bread that comes down from heaven is Christ, the Word made flesh. He is the food we need in order to have a proper relationship with God, a proper relationship with each other, and a proper relationship with the creation. He is the ultimate gift of God who makes us see that all food is a gift of grace. Jesus goes on, "I am the bread of life. Long ago, your people ate the manna in the desert and they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven. A person can eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Everyone who eats some of this bread will live forever. And this bread is my body, and I will give it for the life of the world." Jesus is talking about a different kind of bread. We might call it Eucharistic bread. What is that? When we celebrate communion every Sunday, we bring our bread. It's been grown and harvested and kneaded and baked. We bring it here and we offer it to God with thanksgiving. The Greek word for thanksgiving is Eucharist. It is now Eucharistic bread, transformed by the Holy Spirit into the body and blood of Christ, given for the life of the world. Jesus goes on to say, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. We need the bread of life. We need the nourishment of the self-sacrificing love of the Son of God. Regular bread is something that we consume, we eat it. It fuels our cells. It's done for. Regular bread is necessary. It's important. We can't live without it. But we need more. We cannot live, as God says, by bread alone. We need what Jesus calls the true bread from heaven. We need Eucharistic bread, the body and blood of Christ. And when we eat this bread from heaven, something wonderful happens. We don't consume it. It consumes us. It transforms us. It gives us back our life, our freedom. Christ is the bread of life. Each week we gather around the table to share in the bread from heaven. Like the Israelites gathering manna, at this table we experience what it means to be the free people of God. Christ, the bread from heaven, restores our relationship with God, the Creator and Giver of all things. He restores us to a right relationship with each other, who eat together in a circle of love around this table. And he restores us to a right relationship with the creation, which he has set out to redeem. The bread from heaven is not just spiritual. It also reveals how we receive our daily bread. It reveals our proper place in God's creation. So what is our right place in creation? Wendell Berry describes it in the broadest possible terms. He writes, to live, we must daily break the body and blood of creation. When we do this knowingly, lovingly, skillfully, reverently, it is a kind of sacrament. When we do it ignorantly, greedily, clumsily, destructively, it is a desecration. In such a desecration, we condemn ourselves to spiritual and moral loneliness, and condemn others to want. At the communion table, we become the body of Christ, but we have consumed him. We learn how to live as the free people in the kingdom of God. There we receive Christ, the bread from heaven, the bread of life. He restores us to our true human dignity as the people of God, redeemed, forgiven, set free. And then he sends us out into the world to bring life to the world by living out that sacrificial love which we saw in him, the bread of life. I ran across a wonderful post-communion prayer that expresses this so beautifully. God only wise, you delight to make us your people out of food, the bread from heaven, which is the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we have become his body in the eating of this food, bless those with whom we share that food this week, and bless those with whom we share you and in whom we meet you, so that having been made into your body, we may become food for your world. bringing life and peace to others and to your whole creation, to the praise and glory of your name. Jesus Christ is the bread from heaven who gives life to the world. We who eat that bread become the bearers of that life-giving food to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.